clearly the story is there's like a Hyundai. You're looking for like a lost Hyundai ascent, right?
Yeah.
And then like there's like a, like you have to get the Honda Accord before you can get the Hyundai Ascent, and then you've got like a Subaru.
You may turn the subtitles on.
It's like every once in a while Peter Dinklage just chimes in and he's like, "Here's some backstory," and I'm like, "Oh." Welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. This is episode number 185, which is crazy. And I am your host, Matt.
And I'm Scott.
And I'm Matt.
Matt's us. We're
Welcome
Nerd
to 2015.
We did it.
Yay. Yeah, it is 2015.
First episode of the new year.
Yeah. I was trying to think about how many podcasts we actually put out last year. There are 52 weeks in the year, obviously.
Yeah.
I would say that we did at least 40 and probably 45, if not more.
I think we only missed like 2 weeks, honestly.
Yeah.
We were pretty good about getting one every week.
Yeah, and we put out some, you know, special episodes and we need to talk. We started doing that last year. Yeah. So
we even recorded like shortly after Matt cut his finger off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we did not stop.
We did not.
Nonstop.
Nothing,
I think the one week we missed was it Thanksgiving week? We missed Thanksgiving?
Maybe.
I think so, but I feel like we still put something... We put something out, right?
I think we missed Thanksgiving. I think we literally missed that week entirely. I don't remember. We'll have to look.
That's not bad, though. You know?
No.
Pretty good.
No power in the verse will stop us.
Especially for all the bucks we make on this site. Our bosses were pleased with our output this year.
They were.
We demand 40 episodes from you guys.
We'll give you 50.
Let's do the rundown.
Okay, so we'll talk about what we've been up to as usual. And not surprisingly, there's still not a ton of news from the nerd world, even though CES is going on right now. So we'll sort of take a look at the things that are coming in 2015 from movies and games and so on. And then in our Nequato, we asked you fine folks, what things are you excited about the most in 2015, which could include TV, movies, games, life events, tacos, whatever you want.
Tacos.
Burritos.
We left it open.
Yeah.
We did.
Well, this episode is brought to you by Loot Crate once again. And Loot Crate is the wonderful subscription service where you spend a little money each month and you get a box full of awesome nerdery in your mail. And we love it. We all subscribe. And this month... with the start of 2015 upon us, Loot Crate wanted to create the first crate of the year to celebrate the geek and gaming icons of the past. So join them as they rewind and give you exclusive items from Star Wars and Voltron.
Yeah,
and that's sweet.
Yeah, I know, right?
One of my favorites.
And that's not all. They're also bringing you some epic geek apparel, including an exclusive licensed shirt, so you can kick off the new year in style. Finally, get ready to decorate your desk with an awesome retro gaming-inspired mashup figure. I don't even know what that means, but I want it already.
It sounds awesome.
It's made of mashed potatoes.
It's a mashed potato Street Fighter character.
Oh my god.
Hail Hydra.
That's what it is. I think that's what it is.
You
so
that?
You can which one?
We'll tell you in a second. The Hail Hydra story.
Lootcrate.com. Oh yeah, no, I remember that story.
Yeah.
That was Comic-Con, wasn't it?
No, that was I think that was PAX East.
Was it? Oh, it was PAX Prime. It was one. I remember.
I think you were there, but you were not with us at the time.
Right. You guys ran up and yelled "Hail Hydra" at them for sure.
Yeah, we got a T-shirt from Loot Crate.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So lootcrate.com/ratedNA is the URL you can go to and use the code RatedNA. You'll get a little discount on your Loot Crate, and you'll help out the podcast in the process. So go do yourself a favor and us in the process, and sign up for Loot Crate.
Yeah.
Special code RatedNA. So, Ash, what have you been up to?
You know what's kind of crazy? When you said Voltron, it kind of reminded me that I still remember the transformation sequence.
Oh, yeah.
You guys ready for this?
Yeah, let's do it. Go for it.
Activate interlocks. Dinotherms up. Intracells go. Megathrusters are ready. let's go Voltron Force. And then it goes into all the parts, but I remember the, the beginning of it.
That's amazing.
I think that was actually wrong, so I'm sure our listeners will point out. You got the intracells mixed up or the mega thrusters fucked up.
I mean, I think it's a commendable effort.
Yeah, dinotherms, intracells, I don't know. It's been a good 20 years. But anyway, I used to watch the shit out of Voltron as a little kid, I think every day before middle school. That was my jam. I love me some Voltron. It's been a busy week. I had guests. Matt was down visiting, which was actually super cool. So thanks for visiting, man. He stayed in our guest room, which it kind of spurred me to clean that room for the first time in like 5 years. So I found like ancient artifacts from the past in that room.
It also has the quietest door I've ever used in my life.
Oh, that door is my door from like when I lived with roommates and I would like punch the shit out of it. So it's basically... It's basically held together with like duct tape. It literally is held together with duct tape. It is like if you go and watch like Cops, it is more ghetto than a ghetto door. This is fucking horrible. So I apologize for my ghetto door in the guest room. But yeah, you know, it's been busy. After Matt left, we had my wife's younger sister stay with us, and then had Christmas, which was super fun, and New Year's, which was super fun. I did go to the movies a little while ago and saw Night at the Museum 3, Curse of the Tomb.
How was it?
You know, it's weird. Like, these movies kind of hold a special place in my heart because as a teacher, like, usually at the end of the year, I'd show Night at the Museum 2, Battle of the Smithsonian. And I would watch it with all of my classes, like, one time. So we'd watch it over several days, and I'd watch it, like, six times a day, you know? And I did this for, like, 4 or 5 years. So... I've probably seen Night at the Museum 2, Battle of the Smithsonian, more than any movie I've ever seen in my life. So,
wow.
You know, honestly, and I still don't hate that movie, which is kind of remarkable. It was actually written by Ben Grant and other
Thomas Lennon,
right? And so it's incredibly funny.
And you got your Amy Adams in that one too.
Yep. Yeah, she's in that.
She's Peach.
And like, you know, that is just to me like one of the funniest, like silly. You know, silly comedies that's been out in the past 10 years. This Night at the Museum 3 was not written by Thomas Lennon and Ben Grant, so it's not as funny. And they kind of make the mistake that a lot of sequels make in that they try and reference old jokes from the first two films, but they do like a worse version of it. So they actually like, they'll do the same exact sight gag that was in like number two. And if you've seen number two like literally 100 times like I have, you're like, oh, why are they doing that again? It's just not as funny of a version. So there was a lot of that in it, unfortunately. You know, a little bit less improv, I believe, this time. I want to say in the second film, there's a whole lot of improv by, you know, really funny people like Bill Hader and stuff. And, you know, unfortunately, this one was, it had a really somber tone. And part of it was because, you know, this was Robin Williams' last film.
That's a bummer.
And a lot of the lines that he says, you know, in the film are just kind of dark, you know, and he says, you know, things like, you know, don't forget me and shit like that. And you're like, oh man, like it's just I looked at the whole film very differently knowing that he was gone now.
Yeah. So, and I thought this, wasn't this the last film in the trilogy as well?
It is last film in the trilogy. And, you know, Ben Stiller kind of acted like it was the last film in the trilogy. It was very, kind of dark and sad at moments. And you know, my wife and I at the end, they do like a little tribute to Robin Williams at the end of the film, and like both of us were just like totally tearing up. And that's not kind of how you want to come out of like what's supposed to be like, you know, a
like
silly,
a family holiday
a silly,
like
rambunctious
a
comedy
movie.
Right. So, you know, unfortunately, I would say this one's definitely a rent. Unless you're like a Night at the Museum mega fan, I guess, like I am.
Yeah.
Do they have mega fans? I don't know. Maybe I'm the only
There's
one.
There's fan fiction.
Melissa loves it. She's like addicted to those movies.
Okay, good. Well, the third one, you know, if you love him and you love Robin Williams, he was great in it. But it is definitely, you know, of the three, it is the film that kind of leaves you feeling sad instead of happy at the end. You know, because the trilogy does come to an end. There's a definitive ending, and you know, Robin Williams is gone. So that was kind of a sad thing. I played the ever-living hell out of Kingdom Rush over the break. I went to visit my family.
You were playing it while I was there. Constantly.
Oh, seriously. I mean, I got to the point where I was like, I was like addicted. I was like, oh my God, like I need to get 3 stars on everything. I need to unlock all the characters. And I got really good at it. And I was like, you know, I knew how to stack up all the different towers to like get the best, you know, the best defense and stuff like that. So definitely, if you are a fan of tower defense, and I know Matt's been saying this for over a year, Kingdom Rush Origins is out now, and it's the prequel, because there is a little bit of a story going on in the Kingdom Rush games. And it's also absolutely gorgeous. Has some of the best animations of a tower defense game, I think. Definitely on mobile, you know, some of the best animations I've seen. It's beautiful.
It's got to be the best tower defense game I've played in a long, long time. It's a very, very solid game.
Yeah, they're doing pretty well. The team I learned, because I did a little research, they're from Uruguay, and they are making money hand over fist. So good for them.
Yeah,
like they're making tons of cash in that game. Other than that, I played. I haven't been playing a lot of stuff, but I did play some Far Cry 4, which Matt watched me play.
That game, you did not do it justice while you were describing what happens in that game. It's ludicrous. It's insane.
It is kind of crazy. Like, Matt was there. I unlocked the MG-34 from World War II, the German machine gun, which you have to essentially, like, collect all the towers in the game to unlock it. And then you get this World War II era, like, ridiculous machine gun that just, like...
It's like a 10-shot take a helicopter down. You actually didn't complete a mission at some point because you blew up the helicopter over top of you as opposed to, like, out in the water somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. So, it was fun. Like, I was, when Matt was there kind of hanging out, I was just running around completing some stuff on the map. And, you know, if you're into FPS games, if you're into stealth, if you're into, you know, if you're into exploration and total mayhem, then I definitely say pick up Far Cry 4. It's really a ton of fun, and I'd love to play multiplayer at some point, co-op, but I was having trouble connecting on the servers over Christmas. So yeah, I was having some issues. I was like, I would look for a game for like a half an hour, and I was like, yeah, I don't think anyone's playing multiplayer. I don't know. So, but that's been it. And let's go to Scott.
Hey, we all got together. It's nice. It's weird. I mean, like, Matt lives far away, but you don't. But somehow we all. We don't really get to see each other in the flesh.
I am the glue that unites us.
Yeah. Yeah, you really are. You are the heart. You have the monkey that follows you around.
Oh, I don't want to be heart. We've talked about this.
You don't want to be heart?
No.
Poor heart has the worst power. Doesn't he just shoot love at people?
He just shoots love.
I am the heart.
But you get the monkey, though.
Wilder Valderrama from That 70s Show based his entire performance on heart.
Yeah, you think so?
I think so. Anyway, sorry.
Oh, okay. So, I don't even know what I was going to say. Oh, so yeah. So we all got together and we hung out on New Year's Eve, which is fun and funny because I don't think any of us were really interested in watching the festivities and, you know, what's that?
I said, we still watched it. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. We watched some of it. Oh, I mean, I think the highlight of that.
Just continue on without me. Yeah,
that's okay. The highlight of that, obviously, was watching Ken Marino get wasted on national television and just shout things out randomly at people. You know, like that was great. And then I don't know if you guys watched the end of that. You guys left before midnight and I actually flipped the channel back over at midnight. And Terry Crews basically just took off half of his... like outfit. He took off his shirt and was just like screaming at everybody with no shirt on.
I feel like he does that all the time.
Yeah, but it was funny because it was, you know, clearly unscripted because he was mic'd up. So he's sitting here trying to tear his shirt off and is like, he's got one sleeve. His arm is stuck in the sleeve because he can't get it unbuttoned. And then his in-ear is like stuck to his shirt and he's trying to like fumble through it. And then finally he gets like half of it off and his underwear is sticking out and he's like, yeah! It was something for sure.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he's great. I'm sure Carson Daly was having an awesome night with him and Ken Marino, just like totally like railroading his show. But yeah, it was nice. It's always good when we all get to hang out together, and it doesn't happen very often. But we are going to PAX South, so
we appear to be the only ones on Earth.
Yeah, us and I guess us and. P2R. It'll be like 7 or 8 people there plus the vendors, I guess. I
think it's actually sold out in their defense. So there are 50,000 people that we just don't know going.
Yeah, I mean the the 3-day pass is sold out, the Saturday pass is sold out, and then Friday and Sunday are listed as low at this time. Yeah. So I did do a couple of things over the break that are sort of new. I watched Ascension on Sci-Fi, the 6-part miniseries. I think it's actually really good. And I think some people were sort of like, I don't know. I think some folks were not necessarily happy with the way the series unfolded over the 6 episodes. But I still think that the show deserves a full series, if that's something that could be possible. I just think that the show... What's that?
Were they planning for that, or was it... Is it only supposed to be the miniseries?
I don't know. You know, I tried to scour the internet for information, and I could not find a definitive answer one way or another, if this was just like a one-shot or a, you know, like, let's put it out there and see what happens. I mean, looking at the sets that they built for this show, it seems like it would be a shame just to throw it all away, you know, and go like, yeah, well, we don't need this stuff now, so...
There's part of me that's okay with these short, encapsulated, like, BBC-style series, yeah, where it's just like, yeah, here you go, here's our 10 episodes, and we're moving on with life. And you're like, whoa, what a wonderful story they put together, yeah, you know?
Well, I mean, I would take 4 more episodes even, because the 6 that I saw were interesting. And now, I think the thing that I would throw out there for people that are sort of on the fence about watching it is that it is a program on Sci-Fi, so it's not... Like, the things that happen in the show, the way that the plot unfolds, it's not like the way the plot would unfold if this were on broadcast television, you know? So they kind of go in a unique direction that I think is only something that a fan of science fiction may be able to appreciate, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you kind of need to be of an open mindset fan of sci-fi, like the genre, in order to really, like... get into this show. But that being said, what I saw scratched that itch, and it's really good. And I don't really think there's a lot of other stuff out there like that right now anyways, so I would like to see more of it. You know, it doesn't necessarily need to be Ascension, but Ascension was pretty good in my mind.
Right.
So
that's cool.
I would recommend watching it. You know, it's just 6 episodes each, you know, 40 minutes, like sans commercials or whatever. So good times. The other thing that I'm going to talk about is Assassin's Creed Unity.
Why not?
I mean, I don't want to recap my long and storied history with this franchise, but a while back, before Assassin's Creed 3 even, I wrote a lengthy piece about like what the state of this franchise was and the problems that it had with you being sort of like, you're not following the creed. You know, you're like this mass murderer who can stand in a group of 10 people and like combo kill them all, you know, right at the outset of the game. That being said, they actually fix that in Assassin's Creed Unity, but not in the most awesome way possible. So the game, I guess, is a little more realistic in terms of how the character operates. So the story takes place in Paris. I think I mentioned last podcast, it's like in the, you know, revolutionary times. And so it's like late 1780s, early 1790s. And
are the king and queen dead yet?
I don't know, because I'm not a history person, so I would need some help here. And I don't exactly know what the role of this particular character is in the revolution. He seems to be sort of like taking care of some of his own business. So the story is sort of more about what he's doing. Doesn't seem to be so much involved with the revolution, but I don't know, maybe the characters that he's interacting with are important people and I just don't realize it. But I guess the best way to explain this game, there was one of the blogs put out an article today, and they basically talked about like the business of putting out these like sort of buggy unfinished games. And to illustrate the point, I showed a clip from this film called Pentagon Wars, and the clip on YouTube is called the Bradley Fighting Vehicle Evolution. And basically it tells the story of the Bradley fighting vehicle and how it started out as one thing and became something totally different once like everybody got their hands in it, right? And it's sort of like the Homer Simpson car, you know, where it's like you start out with an idea and then 10 other people go, oh, it'd be great if it did this. And then like the marketing people come in and they're like, oh, we need to monetize it, or the business people or whoever, or the publisher gets involved and they go, yeah, you know, this game is really great, but we need to integrate like this standalone app We really need to get this app integrated somehow. So if you could just do that too, that would be really great. Mm-hmm. And we need multiplayer, right? So can you build like some multiplayer missions into the game? And
throw a bunch of shit at a wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, and the problem, I think the real problem with Assassin's Creed Unity, if you basically start the game from today and you sort of forget about everything that happened on the technical side, if you start the game from today, the real problem with the game is that they add a bunch of stuff that just prolongs the experience if you are the type of person like me who likes to 100% these games. So, you know, like, in the style of Assassin's Creed, there are 400 treasure chests to collect, but unlike previous Assassin's Creeds, there are four different types of treasure chests in this game. There are the ones that you can walk to and open. Yeah, I'll tell you. There are the ones that you can walk to and open. Then there are some that you need to have a profile on Assassin's Creed Initiates to unlock, and that profile needs to be leveled up to a certain level to open those chests. There are chests that require you to play the Assassin's Creed Unity companion app on your tablet or smartphone. Hmm. And then there are treasure chests that require you to pick them with lockpicks. And there are three levels of those chests. And in order to upgrade your lockpicking skill, you must progress through the game completing secondary objectives in the primary missions in order to get experience points that allow you to unlock your lockpicking skill. And then you need to buy the lockpicks because every time you fail, you break one and you only have a certain amount. So if you're not carrying enough lockpicks with you and you're not good at unlocking the chests, you'll constantly go back to the vendors to buy more lockpicks.
Hmm.
Yeah. So this is, I mean, so far this has failed miserably in the sense that the game launched very poorly. And then Assassin's Creed Initiates on the side, as far as the website goes, had a ton of problems as well. They ultimately, at the holiday, took it completely offline and they just said, you know what, forget it. As long as you're playing online, all of those chests will be available to you. So you can unlock those chests. There's like 10 of them. And then you still need to use the companion app. And the problem with the companion app is that there are 63 things that you can unlock in the companion app. And each of those things require you to complete three missions per each one. And each mission takes approximately anywhere between 4 and 36 real-time hours to complete. So I don't know. Wow. I mean, like, this game at its core seems to be a really great game. Yeah. But I just don't understand why.
I'll tell you, one of our followers posted a picture of her mini-map from this game, and just looking at it made me uncomfortable.
It's like, it's vomit. It's complete vomit. I mean, because there are chests to unlock.
Like, there are probably over 100 icons, easily.
Oh, more than that.
Yeah, and you know, it's just like, that's, I understand collecting is huge for people, but that to me seems just like a whole, like, a list of chores, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, you have to collect the feathers, you need to unlock additional bases, which allow you to get more revenue. You need, like, a ton of cash to buy. Like, all of the gear is stratified in this game, so your armor, your weapons, they are rated on, like, a 1 to, like, 5, like, gold star diamond rating.
Okay.
What you can buy with the money you have at the beginning is, like, you know, 1 to 3 star items. Then the 5-star items are reasonably priced. They're like 5,000 gold. And then, like, the 5-star gold items are, I don't know, like 125,000 to 200,000 gold.
Oh,
so
wow.
It takes this gigantic jump, you know, to just to get there. And so you almost have to do all these extra things, because the problem with the difficulty is that it scales by the region that you're in. And what's kind of shitty about that from a user experience perspective is that the characters you encounter basically look exactly the same. And the only difference in these characters is that some of the enemies will have like 1 star above their head, and some of them have 5 stars above their head. And the only difference is that you just can't kill those people. They'll just block everything that you throw at them. And you really need to fight, like, you know, harder to kill them. But visually, there is no difference in these characters. So if you're running from region to region and you pick a fight with some guys, like, I don't know.
That's interesting. Just, that just seems like, why not at least change their color or something?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's so much good stuff about this game. Like, it looks gorgeous. There are, like, four different factions of like, or three different factions of enemies in the game, or like people that can pick fights with you. Some of them are more friendly to you than others. And so all of, and they'll fight with each other too. And that's really cool. And the environments are great. They have like hundreds of people standing around. Like everybody looks like they're doing something.
Cool.
Yeah. You can like walk up and just watch people and they'll be like, you know, standing next to a fire or like rioting or like looking at an overturned cart that's in the middle of a field somewhere trying to fix it. And it's like so much like, cool stuff. Yeah.
It's like they got lost in the world building part.
Yeah.
Like, because they are very good at that, you know? They've always kind of excelled at that and been ahead of the curve with, like, making you look at something and seem like, oh, that town square seems like it's actually real. You know, it's not just, like, three NPCs doing the same path over and over or anything like that.
More real than any of their previous games.
But then they're like, go collect 1,000 feathers. And you're like, ah, god damn it.
Yeah, like, why? Like, why not just build more missions into the game? Like, if you want people to see the interesting town square that you built, send me there and have me kill somebody. Like, don't make me collect something there. And, you know, that being said, the single player main story campaign missions are really fascinating. And I tried some of the cooperative missions and those are really fascinating too. Like, you remember, Matt, we played Splinter Cell together and we got to do those. Like, they basically built an entire second mode into the game just for cooperative missions. And that's kind of what they did here. They built these really intricate missions. They have like little cinematics that open them up and they're like really difficult. You know, there's like tons of enemies to fight with like 2 to 4 people in your party and it's really cool. You know, it's just a shame that all the other stuff kind of like obscures and bogs it down. Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
I mean,
all that game stuff.
I mean, that's not the game part, unfortunately. Like, it's almost like the gamification of a game. Which doesn't really need to be gamified because it should be able to stand on its own, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, so, you know, I'm like probably, I would say 30 to 40% of the way through the game as far as synchronization goes, but probably closer to 50 to 60% otherwise. But, I mean, if you're not like me and you don't need to collect everything, it's worth playing just because it's beautiful. And if you just stick to the single player campaign and try like a little bit of the co-op, I think there's a lot of stuff to like there, but it's just like, geez, it's like, bless it, what is going on here?
I know that Ryan, like, our friend Ryan's playing and he is enjoying it, but he definitely does not have the kind of collector ism that you have, I guess is the way to put that. So he's been like, oh, the world's beautiful, you know, the missions are pretty good. He kind of looks at it almost as a return to Assassin's Creed 2 somewhat.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a throwback. Your character is, like, heavier, but he moves better. Like, there's better animations, and it's, like, you need to think more when you're fighting. Like, you can't just stand, even when you're powered up, you can't stand in a group of 6 people because you're just going to get killed. They will kill you, which is more realistic, you know, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. So, like, since we're not doing reviews later, that was kind of my rant review.
Your mini review?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I like these games. I really do love them, but it's just so disappointing that it's, like, somebody in on a forum made a joke. It's like, next Assassin's Creed Unity, you're going to have to buy, like, Axe body spray and then use the code off the back to unlock an app. And then the app will give you, like, whatever, like, Helix credits. And then you use those to unlock lockpicks to get to the chests. And the chests will unlock Ezio's armor, which you've always wanted, you know. So,
No lie, we were at the grocery store the other day and I needed, like, hair stuff.
Yeah.
And the only option I had was Axe, you know, like, Axe doer in the butt. Bat spray or whatever, and I was like, I'm not. I refuse to buy anything that says the word. I apologies to all of our Axe we're using listeners. It's not a personal thing. I can't get over their commercials. I'm like, oh god, I don't even.
Unilever will never sponsor this podcast.
Is that who owns it?
Yeah,
good Lord, why do you know that?
Because I mean, because the company is like, it befuddles me because they make those products and they make food products too.
Oh boy.
So go figure that one out.
How do you think they make that?
Yeah, how do you think they make that? They're probably both food made stuff in the same, yeah.
What do you think's in the burgers?
I'm just speculating, of course. I don't really know.
That was a you can't do that on television joke for our 40-year-old listeners.
Who do you think's in the burgers?
I heard that.
Oh, Mark.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. Oh, I miss Snick. Do you guys miss Snick?
Of course.
Yeah. Going to the roundhouse. Matt, what's going on, man?
So I, of course, traveled a bunch, as you guys alluded to. So I had 2 flights with dog part of the reason we actually came home. Did I ever tell the dog teeth cleaning story on the podcast?
Yeah, I don't think you told it on the podcast.
So we went to our local vet here. This will be real quick, but we went to our local vet here, and our dog was like way overdue for a teeth cleaning, which is a thing dogs actually need amazingly. And little dogs are more prone to it, and we have a tiny little dog. And she, her mouth was bad. Like, you could smell her from the other side of the couch. It was really not fun. And she was acting like sick, kind of. So anyways, we go to the vet here, and they send us a quote for a teeth cleaning on our 11.5-pound dog. And the low end of that quote was $3,300.
Yikes.
And the high end of that quote was $6,500. And I thought, I could buy a car.
Yeah.
And,
in New York.
So we were like, well, let's ask some other vets. And they were all not equally high, but they were all higher than our vet back in Florida. And I realized that we were talking about going home for Christmas anyways. And this was like back in September, October. And I was like, wait, we can fly Lilo home, go to our vet in Orlando, have it done there, and fly back. And even including our plane tickets, it'll be cheaper than just doing the teeth cleaning here.
It's ridiculous.
So we did that. So our doggie was with us. We flew with her in a plane. And while I had time to fly, I was like, oh, I'm going to play games. And my favorite games to play on the plane now are the Telltale games. I just can't get enough of them on my iPad. I don't know why you suckers play it on your Xbox, man. So much better on the iPad.
I'm not going to play for achievements.
60 inches.
Whoa.
Oh,
I finished Wolf Among Us, which I had sadly not finished yet. So I finished that, played Game of Thrones, and played Borderlands on the two flights.
So what did you think?
I will say, if I were to rank these games in order of funness right now, the Wolf Among Us is probably first, with Borderlands being a real close second.
Okay.
The writing in Borderlands is just awesome. The thing is, the weird thing with ranking these two is those two games are like polar opposites. Like, Wolf Among Us is very dark and very serious and has like a very heavy undertone to it. Mm-hmm. And Borderlands is not. It's very fun, and like, you know, all the things that happen in it are kind of zany, and like, you're making tough decisions still, like all Telltale games, but nowhere near the kind of like craziness that happens in Wolf Among Us, I guess. So they're very different games, but they've got to be like one and two. If I play more Borderlands, maybe it'll pass, you know, like as they put more chapters out, maybe it'll pass Wolf Among Us, but they're sitting neck and neck. And then probably Walking Dead after that, and then Thrones.
You're just not feeling Game of Thrones.
Well, Ash talked a little briefly about it when I was hanging out at his house, but it's weird to play a game where you already know the characters and you kind of already know where things would essentially go. Like, you might not know exactly what's going to happen, but you know, if you've watched or read all of Game of Thrones, like, they put certain characters into the game that are very like, oh, well, this, you know, I'm trying to talk around the actual people, but this guy is going to fuck everything up, you know, like, period. There's nothing
not
I can
nice
do.
Person, no matter what you do.
Yeah, no matter what decision I make here, he's going to screw it up somehow, you know? And it just adds a weird level that the other games don't have to deal with. You know what I mean? Like, Wolf Among Us, because it's based on fables, you can kind of guess some of the characters, like Bluebeard's an asshole. Like, there's certain characters that you kind of know some about if you've read the comics, but not as like... I think it's the nature of Game of Thrones, because characters are very rarely middle of the road. They're very usually like blown out cartoon versions of what somebody of that archetype would be, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like a sociopath in a sociopath in a movie or a book is just like, oh, he's, you know, unpredictable, and he has no emotion towards things. Like, so he could do anything, you know? A sociopath in Game of Thrones is like, he ripped off that guy's leg, started eating it, and like, you know, started like doing something terrible to women on the, like, it's just like above what it is and anything else, that it's hard to really like not know that certain things are going to happen when you're playing. That being said, like, it's still good. It's still a very Telltale makes very good games, and it is still a very good game. And rating it after Wolf Among Us, Borderlands, and Walking Dead is like rating it, you know, it's still like oh, these three great games are better than this other game.
Like, so you're saying the quality is still very high. It's like,
yeah,
like...
I mean, it's not like they made, it's not like, oh, well, there's the stinker that Telltale made. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still a wonderful game. It's just, there's something weird about it being Game of Thrones that you're just kind of like, I guess your mindset is already, it's like in Walking Dead, you just assume everybody's going to die. Like, I mean, honestly, the whole time I play Walking Dead, I'm just like, well, all these characters are going to die at some point, so who gives a shit? Like, don't get attached to any of them.
Yeah, it's like you're almost desensitized to it. The game desensitizes you in a way.
Yeah, like, I mean, honestly,
you kind of are.
Yeah, for the first season, are you not waiting the entire time for I just blanked on her name.
Clementine
to get killed. Like, is that not like your fear constantly?
I think if that happened, though, everyone would just turn the game off. I think, well, that character has become so loved that they would, like, literally there would be riots in the streets.
Oh, I'm not saying that they were. I'm saying that Walking Dead sets up that atmosphere of any one of these characters is fair game to kill. So mm-hmm. getting too attached to any one of them could mean that you're going to get disappointed, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, I agree.
Yeah.
And Walking Dead is kind of like any batshit crazy insane thing can happen. So be ready. No matter what your decision is, it's probably going to blow up in your face at some point.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. true.
You know, and whereas, and especially Borderlands don't, I think, carry that.
Borderlands feels more like a romp. You know,
it really does. Yeah,
it's like a party, and however you want to conduct your partying is, I mean, the game will sort of reward you for doing it. And there's humor too. You can make humorous choices and not have to worry about like your best friend getting slaughtered and like eaten by somebody in front of you. You know?
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, you feel more loose. Like Wolf Among Us feels more real. You're making very, because you're just a detective, and the world is not. It's crazy because you're dealing with fairy tale characters, but it's not as crazy. So you're feeling like you feel more weighted in these kind of like real decisions, and you're less worried about everyone dying at the turn of every decision. And Walking Dead feels very real and weighted, you know, but it all feels like, ah, fuck, like this guy's gonna die. Like, I, no matter what I do, one of these people's gonna die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Game of Thrones just feels like, it's just kind of like, well, I don't know, throw it all at the wall, see what.
Yeah.
I choose this guy and I do this thing. Oh, they all got killed. Of course, you know, like, sure. So it's fun, but I still had a blast, of course. And the writing and the voice acting and like, God, they're on like every level in every game. And I don't know how a company can keep doing that over and over, but they do over and over again. Keep nailing the voice acting, nailing the writing, nailing the. No matter what title I'm talking about right now, like all of them are just spot on, which makes me wonder what Minecraft is going to be like. I'm willing to play it. I'm a little weirded out by it, but I'm willing to play it and see how it goes.
Who knows? They're just going to print money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are. That one's going to make them $1 billion, right? Like even more so than Game of Thrones.
Yeah, probably. Yep. Probably. I mean, I think personally, I just think that they should do a Firefly game.
Oh yeah.
They could probably kickstart it. We'll pay Nathan Fillion's salary. You know, who knows?
Or if they just do a Firefly game, they probably could.
Yeah. They could get all those people to do that.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, Telltale, do that.
Can we sing the theme song to Firefly right now?
What's that?
Can we sing the theme song to Firefly right now?
I don't know. You put me, I just blanked on all the lyrics when you put me on the spot.
Take my land. Take me where I cannot stand. All I know is I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me.
This is, by the way, not Sleepy Ash. What happens when we podcast at night without a Sleepy Ash? It's totally different.
Guys, I got to sleep until 7 today.
What?
And I got to poop when I wanted to poop. Feels like getting out of jail.
So to close it out for me, I also played Destiny a bunch. I am level 12 now.
Nice.
Question mark. I was like level 6 and I leveled to 12, I think. That game.
Yeah.
Man. It's an MMO for sure.
Where's the beef?
There was a point where, and granted, you have to understand what the different, there's story missions and then there's patrol missions and, you know, whatever. But I was like on a patrol mission one and it was like, collect 3 dinkle daubers. And I was like, what's a dinkle dauber? And it's like, I don't know, go find them. And then I'm just like killing things and flying around the moon to figure out like what a dinkeldauber. I'm just waiting for anyone to like inform me what a dinkeldauber is.
Uh-huh.
And then like I'll kill like one of the robot guys. And it'll be like, dinkeldauber. And I'm like, oh, I must need to kill more robot guys. And then I'll kill more robot guys and like no more dinkeldaubers are dropped. And I'm like, I don't know what is happening in this game right now. Like it just was very, it's very MMO-y and like it's getting to me a little. I'm hitting like level 30 and WoW feeling right now.
Yeah.
Where you're just grinding for the sake of grinding. And you're like, I just don't know if I care that much. But
I'm still a bad date with a broad, if you know what I mean.
There you go. I'm still playing the story mode, you know, and clearly the story is there's like a Hyundai. You're looking for like a lost Hyundai Ascent, right?
Yeah.
And then like there's like a, like you have to get the Honda Accord before you can get the Hyundai Ascent, and then you get a Subaru.
You may turn the subtitles on.
I was like, every once in a while, Peter Dinklage just chimes in and he's like, here's some backstory. And I'm like, oh.
Thanks.
Wait, where's the rest of the backstory? They're right. Like, move on. Go find the last guardian.
It's a very befuddling game. It's very.
I don't know what's happening.
The shooty feels good, though.
The shooty's so good. It's like such a good shooty game. It really is. Oh, God. You're flying around space and shooting things. I have very minimal complaints about that part, but it does feel very MMO-y. Yeah. So, anyways, let's talk about things next year.
Okay. We'll take a break.
I said next year. This year. This year.
Come back in the future.
This is 2015 is the year of Back to the Future Part 2.
We were actually talking about watching it at your house on New Year's Eve, but we didn't.
Oh, man.
Bond going, and we didn't want to break up your Bond.
Oh, you could have totally brought that up. I didn't. That was fine.
We were just watching a terrible Bond movie.
It was just a Pierce Brosnan Bond film. Come on. It wasn't important.
it had what's her name in it, though? Wild Things.
Denise Richard Wild
That's
Things.
Her.
Wild Things.
You think her friends just call her that?
Wild Things.
Hey, Wild Things, get over here.
I hope they call her Dr. Christmas Jones, to be honest with you.
Oh boy.
I bet she doesn't.
And I thought Christmas only came once a year.
Oh, it's so dirty. Oh, yeah, it's like the dirtiest Bond line. That's like Austin Powers line.
Yeah, it really is. It's a really crude line.
You know what we watched last night that is a better Bond movie than any of the Pierce Brosnan Bond movies?
Is it a Timothy Dalton Bond movie?
No. The Thomas Crown Affair.
Oh, okay.
That is a good movie.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was quite a tangent.
Yeah. So we're talking about movies that are coming up in 2015 that we are excited about. So I quickly threw some stuff on the list that was kind of genre related. So action, sci-fi, fantasy, that kind of stuff. I didn't put a lot of like indies and dramas on here because
every movie that's coming.
We're not going to read every movie. Yeah. Because that would be terrible. But first one on the list is Kingsman: The Secret Service. Have you guys seen the trailer for this yet?
I have not.
Definitely check it out. It's it's a Mark Millar graphic novel that came out, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago. And it's his sort of take on James Bond. So Scott, this is something that you will absolutely love. It's about a kid who is like a street thug in London, and he discovers that his uncle is essentially James Bond.
Nice.
And he sends him to this school for kids to become secret agents, and they're called the Kingsmen, and they learn to use all these fucking gadgets and cool stuff and go on to save the world.
Sounds great.
It is super, super cool, and definitely check out the trailer. There's a Red Band trailer. It's definitely a rated R take on James Bond, so it's ultra violent, super bloody. It's gonna be awesome. Yeah.
So who's directing?
Oh man, I totally used to know
it,
and it's
it's Matthew Vaughn.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So Matthew Vaughn from X-Men First Class and Wanted. Yeah. So X-Men First Class and Wanted, and so check it out. It's going to be awesome.
You got your you got your Sam Jackson in the movie, and you got your Michael Caine.
I know. It's got quite
Wanted, even for being as sort of narratively thin as it was a pretty visually gorgeous movie. So
yeah,
Matthew Vaughn's pretty good at making things.
I don't know. I don't know if this is true or not, but in the Wikipedia page for this film, part of the cast includes Adele, Elton John, and Lady Gaga as herself.
Do you want to hear what the story is about real quick?
Sure.
A spoiler.
Wait, yeah. Do we?
It's not a spoiler.
Okay.
Like, the main villain is sort of this like impossibly rich person, mm-hmm. and he's going to essentially try to take over the world and destroy the world. But he's like a huge fan of pop culture, so he goes around kidnapping pop culture icons.
Oh, okay.
To like basically put them in like an arc.
Gotcha.
So yeah, it's really cool.
In an arc.
Yeah, like
an
arc.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so he's going to save all of like the famous people and kill everybody else.
It's like North Korea and Dennis Rodman. Right?
yeah.
This is who we're going to save.
He was doing? He was just trying to save Dennis Rodman.
I would assume so. Yeah.
Wow.
Other one, I don't know if you guys have seen the first Divergent film or read the books. My wife is a huge fan of the Divergent series. But the first film was actually a pretty good little post-apocalyptic.
Did you like it?
I liked it. It was good. It was better than a couple of the other ones that I've seen. I think I actually liked the first Divergent film more than the latest of the Hunger Games films. So
I'm still way behind on Hunger Games. We watched the first Divergent film last night. Or two nights ago, because my wife, along with your wife, is a huge fan of the books and the movie, and or the books mostly, but she enjoyed the movie. I liked the movie. I'm wondering this, and you can answer this for me.
Mm-hmm.
We watched it directly after we watched Scott Pilgrim. Do you think that I would have liked it having not seen Scott Pilgrim right before it? A movie which I immensely love and think is one of the best, like most gorgeous comic book movies ever put out.
Yeah, and Scott Pilgrim also has fantastic fight scenes. So
yeah.
I think that level of energy, if you watch that before any film with action in, you're going to be like, why is everything moving in slow motion? So yeah, I think that's probably one of the big problems.
I liked it. It's just, there's a lot of YA stuff out there. And Melissa was like, no, the book is so much better, of course. But she was like, she likes it better than Hunger Games, the book series and the movie. Like, she was like, I think this is better than Hunger Games. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I don't know. But I don't know. I have a weird view of it. It fell flat, but then I was like, maybe I watched it. We were like movie marathoning, and I'm like, I wonder if watching Scott Pilgrim before it just made me be like, oh, whatever.
That might
be not
it.
Scott Pilgrim, I don't care.
To be honest, I didn't love it either. I thought the cast was pretty good. I like the Shailene Woodenheimer, whatever her name is.
She's a great Shailene Woodley. She's a great actress, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, too. I said that as if you meant that in a different way. I don't know if you did or not, but she was in The Descendants. She was brilliant. Like, she's very good. Like,
yeah, I think she's really good.
The whole cast, I thought, did well. Just something was weird. Something was a little off on it. Maybe it's just book translation without having...
Only time, like, there's, like, a gang. Like, this gang is special because they all parkour. You're like, okay, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, your calling in life is to be a parkour gangster. You're like, really? That's, like, a calling in life? I didn't know that was a thing I could do. But I guess it is a thing.
It's like District B6 or whatever that movie
is. Yeah, so a little fantastical. The other one is Furious 7. Are you guys excited for Furious 7?
I've probably only seen half of one of those movies.
Dude. Scott, this is what I'm doing. Tomorrow night, coming to your house with 800 chicken wings. I'm going to come over at 1 in the morning, and we're going to watch all 6 Fast and the Furious movies before the sun comes up.
Man, if only we had the time to take an entire day off to do that.
No, middle of the night we're doing it.
I'm just showing up.
I'm just showing up. Just expect me.
I don't think we can start at 1 a.m. and finish by the morning. Maybe, I don't know.
Aren't all those movies like 30 minutes long?
Yeah, I think they are. They're all really short.
Oh, okay. Well, then no problem.
Yeah. It's just like Vin Diesel, he's like, and then it's like, and then the movie's over.
So, first of all, I like to drive really slow in life, and this is true. I don't really care too much about fast cars and stuff, but films 5 and 6 are really good action films. If you like action films, definitely watch Fast 5 and 6 Fast or whatever it's called.
Now, well, The Rock is in some of these, right?
Yeah, he's in 5 and 6.
He and then they like They also use a lot of practical effects, right? That's kind of the
The stunts are awesome.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
You can, I mean, the movies are stupid. I'm like, I'm not saying this is like high quality cinema, but in terms of quality action films, they're some of the best action films in recent years, 5 and 6, I'd say.
Okay.
It's done by Justin Lin, who's actually doing the new Star Trek movie.
And now, do I need to see 1 through 4 to really grasp what is happening in 5 and 6?
I would say no.
Okay.
Maybe watch the very first one that kind of sets up the main cast.
Yeah. Well, you have to watch Tokyo Drift, right?
I've actually never seen Tokyo Drift. Tokyo Drift is the one that, this is a shame that I know this much, but it exists outside of the timeline. Tokyo Drift actually takes place after Fast 6. So it goes 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, Tokyo Drift 7.
Your knowledge of this movie series rivals Scott's Bond movie knowledge.
I was about to say this is the Never Say Never Again of the Bond.
I was about to ask you, what is that weird Sean Connery movie that sits outside of the Bond spectrum?
Yeah. That would be Never Say Never Again.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Why are we still talking about this when Avengers Age of Ultron is next?
Yes, Avengers Age of Ultron. This is the one that I'm going to make Scott go to the theater with me and see.
Okay. Are you?
Yeah, I'm going to say, come on, we're going.
We'll all go together. We'll
That's
hold
acceptable.
Hands.
I mean, I saw Guardians in the theater, so
yeah,
we can do that.
Hole in the popcorn tub and all.
Whoa. That's not necessary. I'll go see the film with you. You don't have to do anything else.
Oh, okay.
Wait, is he cutting the hole for you? Or?
I don't know. I don't understand the terms of this movie engagement.
Extra butter.
This movie is gonna own the summer, right? How much do you think it's gonna break a billion? But how fast?
Avengers: Age of Ultron. I think pretty fast.
Do you think so? Do you think this will be the fastest grossing movie in history?
Until Star Wars: Force Awakens.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
It's going to be a year, guys. So anyway, everyone's obviously excited about Age of Ultron. Obviously we are too. And I can't wait. Have you guys seen the trailer for Mad Max Fury Road yet?
So there's two trailers. I saw the first one and I was like, okay. The second one looks amazing. It looks badass. I'm like, I am 100%. I actually really love the Mad Max movies. I've gone back and watched them. Have you gone back to do Road Warrior too or no?
Yeah, actually, I watched. I watched. My wife had never seen them, and I was like, "Oh, you need to see Thunderdome. You need to see Mad Max." I don't know if we watched Road Warrior. We watched.
It's slower. It's slower than the others, but it still holds up. Those movies are great.
Yeah, they are really phenomenal.
But I'm excited. You know,
again, like definitely, this is coming out pretty soon. I think like April or May. And if you haven't seen the trailer for Mad Max Fury Road yet, check it out. It looks incredible. So it has. What's his name? Tom Hardy, Charlize Theron. Looks really, really great.
Tom Hardy, who I still vote I want in my Inhumans movie, not Vin Diesel. Still my vote.
As long as he does Bane voice when he does his takes his black bolt.
When he finally says it. Something.
Pitch Perfect 2, guys.
Hey.
Are you excited?
Sure.
Oh, come on, man. This is a great movie.
Yeah, I
don't understand why there's a sequel, though.
Well, because it made a lot of money, man.
Well, I mean, I understand. I understand in Hollywood terms why there's a sequel. I don't understand what the premise of the sequel is going to be. Like,
I don't
get it. I thought we saw a full story arc. It felt nice.
I enjoyed it. I think this is them, like, their senior year about to go off. And I think they want to compete in, like, the acapella, like, world championship. Royal Rumble or something like that.
I have two words. American Pie.
Oh, no. I hope that doesn't happen.
I'm just saying, like, you know, American Pie was a fun high school romper movie, and then they made 4 more, and we're like, we don't care about American Pie anymore. Like, please stop making them.
Yeah.
And I just don't know why this movie has a sequel. It was such a – it was, like, a good movie.
You know what I'm kind of stoked about with this one, though? Elizabeth Banks is actually directing this one, so I'm kind of.
Oh, is she?
She's directing it and like wrote part of it, so I'm a huge fan of her. So gotta lend my support.
I'll watch it. Damn it!
This one's for Scott.
I'm excited about this. Tomorrowland is. I mean, Tomorrowland is a place at Magic Kingdom, and I think that this film is sort of like loosely based off of the idea of sort of the. You know, like the high level idea of what Tomorrowland sort of embodies, right? So I don't really know too much about what this film is about, but I've seen a trailer, which is fantastical in a way where it's like, it's Damon Lindelof is doing the screenplay and Brad Bird is directing. I know, that's the only problem, right? But Brad Bird is directing and he directed Incredibles.
All right.
He's got a hand in screenplay.
Iron Giant.
Yeah, screenplay and story. So
I don't know, guys. And starring the Clunes.
Yeah, George Clooney. So,
and you, Laurie.
Yeah, so the idea behind
and Tim McGraw.
Oh, all right.
Sorry,
my brain literally saw the crime dog when you said that. I was like, wait, what? And then I was like, oh, that's somebody else entirely.
So I know very little about this film, but I mean, if it is supposed to embody this idea of. I mean, honestly, if it's like a retro future kind of thing, like a 50s future,
right.
Tomorrowland, like anything is possible, like World of Tomorrow kind of thing, like I'm in. So I've seen like a teaser trailer. It sort of gets at that a little bit. Seems like an adventure kind of film.
So do you think like it'll be halfway through or three quarters of the way through where you're like, wait, is this about God?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm sure there will be some alternate reality game to promote the film when it finally is ready to come out. So I look forward to looking at scraps of paper and frozen still frames of a weird trailer to get hints about what this film is about. But I'm looking forward to it. I mean, either way, I hope it'll be good.
I trust now that I know it's Brad Bird and the Clunes, like that's he's the Clunes, by the way. I hang out in his Italian house.
The Clunes? What's it? What do you call his aunt? Do you call her Rosie Clunes?
Yeah.
Rosie Clunes? Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, I have more faith. Brad Bird and the Clunes gives me slightly more faith, but
yeah,
still feel like I can get Lindelof.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll wait and see. So let's talk about Terminator Genesis.
I literally tried to spell it the way that they spelled it, and I was like, I can't. My fingers
so
won't
wrong.
Type it.
Yeah, hey, do you know they're still making Terminator films?
Yeah, so they're making Terminator Genesis, and Terminator Genesis is a reimagining of the Terminator story in which Kyle Reese does not die. So it creates an alternate timeline in which everything is different based on the fact that Kyle Reese lives. And I guess shit happens differently, and Arnold Schwarzenegger's like an old man for some reason, and
oh boy,
and everything is I don't know.
Well,
different.
robots age in the future.
Apparently,
naturally.
So. Now, does this continue like that? The prior film, what was that? Terminator Salvation.
What this one is essentially doing is rebooting the franchise from the very beginning.
Oh, that is so weird.
They're saying essentially that Terminator 2, well, mainly. Terminator 3 Rise of the Machines really didn't happen.
It shouldn't have happened, to be honest with you. Like Terminator Salvation was at least an okay film. Like that was all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the game was pretty good too, if you want to get a quick 1,000, by the way. But so this new one follows a new timeline.
Yeah, a new timeline.
But doesn't continue any of the films.
No, so I mean there's a new Sarah Connor, there's a new part of the film takes place in the future, and John Connor sends Kyle Reese still into the past, but then the timeline kind of splinters from there, and it becomes a whole new universe. So it could be good. It depends, I guess, on how great the action is. I mean, action films, we can overlook shitty plots when the action's great. So
this isn't Cameron, right?
No, it's not Cameron.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to explain how synthetic skin ages over time on
they probably will
on a robot frame.
Yeah, they probably will.
I mean, like, I made a joke, but like, please don't. Like, honestly, let's move on. We get it. Real people age. Robots don't. Let's just. Who cares? We don't need to.
What really sucks is that Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicles was actually a really good show.
I know, Scott, and we all didn't watch it with you, and it got canceled, and it's our fault.
Well, no, it got 2 seasons. I think, it was the curse of the Glau, unfortunately.
Glau.
But, Shirley Manson was in it, and that was really
good.
She was pretty good.
Yeah, she was great in that.
Pretty good liquid Terminator. Spoiler alert.
Hey, don't ruin it for anyone that is going to go see. Our pal... Alessandra Torresani makes a cameo in one of those episodes too.
Really?
Yeah, she plays a girl that throws herself off of a building, a high school student.
Very sad.
Yeah, yeah. She was great in that
terrible
episode.
Terrible cameo.
Yeah, I know. I just ruined that too.
Really? Oh, that's sad.
Ant-Man, starring Martin Lawrence.
Did you guys watch the trailer, the teaser trailer that I posted?
The tiny one?
Yeah.
I watched the tiny one. All their tiny marketing is fucking genius.
I think it's hilarious. I know it's like a big middle finger, but I still think it's pretty hilarious. So.
I think it's good. Yeah, they put out the poster today, and the poster is like a tiny microscopic Paul Rudd on a white piece of paper. And you're like, oh, man. But the real trailer is actually airing tonight with the Agent Carter show.
Which
is on in 15 minutes.
I think it's already on. It's 2 hours.
Or is it on a date? Yeah. Oh, it was 2 hours.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm excited.
Pull the collar. Hey, did you guys know they're still making Fantastic Four?
They apparently don't want us to know that because they haven't tried to sell it to us at all. But that's actually coming out, I think, right around the same time as Ant-Man.
I wonder which one will make more money.
A reimagining of the Fantastic Four story.
Why do Sony and Fox keep doing this? Just hand it back. Like, if you want to keep the X-Men, I get it. They make you a lot of money. But none of these other movies are making you any money whatsoever. Just give it back. Just give it back. Or just let them make it, and then you can still reap the profits from owning the rights.
Yeah. I mean, here's a terrible idea. If we don't go see Fantastic Four at all, they'll probably want to give the license back. So
who knows?
I'll probably still go see it, guys. I hate to tell you.
Just rent it for a dollar from the Redbox.
Just wait.
Yeah.
I can't.
Wait, Ash.
You can do it.
No.
You can do it. There's plenty of other films to watch.
Here's one that I'm excited about, guys.
Jim and the Holograms?
Yeah.
Isn't it spelled with a J?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Jim? Yeah, it's Jim and the Holograms.
With a J, right?
Yeah.
Not a G? Okay.
No. Yeah, you must be super excited for this film.
I am. I forgot how to spell Jim. Yeah, truly outrageous. So
calling you out on the podcast.
I'm a fake fanboy of Jim and the Holograms. To be honest, this used to be on after Thundercats, and I would always watch it. So I know all about Synergy and the Misfits. And
the cover art on the IMDb page suggests that this might be more of a serious film somehow.
Really? I actually have not seen that.
I mean, it doesn't look like a romp, like the cartoon would have been.
Like Josie was?
Yes.
Is that right? Josie and the Pussycats.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that film
was
great.
Come on, man. Come on.
That was a great soundtrack.
This looks like Jim and the Holograms made by The Social Network. What the hell is this?
It's a weird poster for the art. Man, Josie and the Pussycats, that was great. That was Fountains of Wayne that did the music with What's-Her-Face from K...
Rachel... No,
it was K something or other. She's in one of those bands. I'm going to look this up. You keep talking.
Okay. So this will be a movie? About
it
a cartoon.
Be. Yeah, I don't know how it's going to be. It has Molly Ringwald in it, so that's always a plus. Who knows what part she's playing, but
I saw that. Molly Ringwald, it's got a weird cast, but
it does. A lot of them are relative unknowns, which I think could be kind of cool. So
That is Kay Hanley from Letters to Cleo that sings the soundtrack.
Oh, sings. Yeah. I thought you meant the girl who plays Josie.
Oh, no, I was just talking about the music. It's really good.
I getcha.
Yeah, so it's like you almost get like a bonus Letters to Cleo album out of it in the process.
Excellent.
Yep.
Hunger Games Mockingjay 2 is coming out, starring Natalie Dormer.
Hey.
What? You have my attention.
Mockingjay 1 was good. It was super depressing, and everyone tells me that part 2 is even more depressing.
But have you not read the books?
You didn't read the books?
I haven't read the books. Oh, I haven't read books. Well, I read the first two. I didn't read book 3 because everyone's like, don't read 3. It sucks.
Oh, can read it.
3 doesn't suck.
I think I'm going to read it anyway before this comes out.
I've not seen part 1. How is part 1?
It's good. You know, it's a little slow.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of action this time.
But Julianne Moore is in it, is she not?
She is. She plays the Presidente.
President? Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's great, as always. She always plays like the same, like very assertive woman role, which is awesome. You know, I really liked part one, although the pacing was weird because, you know, the book, I'm assuming, follows a bit of an arc with a beginning, middle, and an end. And anytime you split a story up into two chunks, you try and create an artificial arc or two artificial arcs so that you can split it into multiple films.
Right.
And it didn't really work that way. So, you know, there's a long, like, 40-minute chunk where, like, nothing really happens. There's just, like, a lot of talking, and they're kind of hanging out in, like, the rave club from The Matrix, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then things ramp up a bit toward the end. But so the pacing's odd.
That's why you should always do what Peter Jackson does and make three movies out of one. That's how it works. That's how the magic happens.
I still haven't seen The Hobbit, guys. I'm a big fan.
I really want to see the third one.
I heard it's better. Everyone says it's better.
Really? It's not just a dragon talking for 15 minutes in a movie?
I don't think so.
The very end? The dragon in the title of the movie? 15 minutes at the very end? We're out of here.
But it's Benedict Cumberbatch, guys.
I know. Oh,
man. Look into his eyes. Dream of his embrace.
So these last two movies we're just calling Scott's Corner, right?
Yep, Scott's Corner.
Hey, Star Wars The Force Awakens and James Bond Spectre.
Yeah, we should wait and go with Scott to these movies.
Same day,
marathon them same day and make Scott wear a diaper.
They're not coming out at the same time, are they?
James Bond's November when Star Wars.
November as well, right?
December. There you go.
December. For that.
Very exciting. So yeah, Star Wars and James Bond. We're obviously very excited about those.
I'm stoked. I'm just really stoked that James Bond in general is on like a high quality peak and not in the low quality peak right now. We're sort of like, you know, you've got your Sean Connery high and then your Roger Moore like slump, and then you get your Timothy Dalton high, and then you go into your Pierce Brosnan slump, and then you get back to your Daniel Craig high and question mark, right? Like, let's see what happens. I'm excited.
See. Star Wars. You got no words for Star Wars, do you?
I mean, what is there to say? I forgot to say this earlier, but I finished The Clone Wars. I watched the Lost episodes.
Oh, cool.
Man, that last arc.
I haven't finished it yet.
I won't say anything, but okay. that last arc was good. Man, it was.
Yeah, everything was good. I loved
it. There were a couple, you know, weird stinker political episodes in there, but for the most part, I was really impressed.
It was good.
And the cameo that appears in that final season is really impressive. No, not, you know, Word Up, not that one.
I was going to say, a cameo of the band doesn't show up?
No, I'm not. There's a guest appearance in that final. I was like, really? Is that? Yeah, cool. Right on. Yeah, really impressed.
That was great stuff.
I'm sure we'll be talking about Star Wars all year. Nope. So there's probably not. No.
You will.
No?
This is the last mention of it. Mark it down. January 6th. No more mentions of Star Wars after this.
The guy releases an 88-second trailer, and immediately there's, 10 spoof trailers, and Stephen Colbert is doing, an analysis of the lightsaber. I think we'll be okay.
On a side note, do you think he has any chance of winning here?
Yes.
It's a lose-lose for him, I feel like.
I feel like he can win. I feel like he can win people over.
All right.
Because, I mean, it's him, and it's also Disney behind it. I know that it's easy to mock Disney sometimes, but they now have Star Wars and the Marvel properties. I don't think they're going to screw this up.
Well, that's the other thing. We watched Saving Mr. Banks. Did I talk to you guys about this?
I think briefly, but not on
the show, though, yeah.
Oh. Have you seen it, Scott?
No,
I want to, though. I really do.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you should. That was it. Sorry. Okay. You said Disney triggered that memory. That's all.
Yeah. I mean,
everybody should see it. It's a good movie.
Yeah, that's Tom Hanks, right? It's about, like Mary Poppins.
Yeah, and Emma Thompson and Colin, one of the Collins.
Yeah, I do.
You guys know what would be really popular is a Marty Poopins live-action film.
You know, Ash, I've thought that before. Somebody came up with the Marty Poopins idea. I don't remember who.
Oh, man. I don't know either. It's a me, Marty Poopins.
Can there be singing and dancing with animated
It's about a magical plumber that has to unclog all the problems of a family.
Instead of an umbrella, what was he going to carry?
A plunger.
Like a plunger, yeah.
Oh, the Marty Poopins live action film will make us millions, rated NA.
Will he dance on the ceiling as well?
Of course. Yeah. Okay.
Classic moments.
Like, maybe he can plunge. There'll be a song, a whimsical song about plumber's crack.
Yeah, maybe there's a toilet on the ceiling and he magically unclogs it, but no water. There's no mess somehow, right?
Absolutely. Well, yeah. So you're onto something. Scott's like writing this whole script right now.
Yeah. Scene I tried one. The other day I tried to pitch my wife what the plot to the Whoa. Gilmore Girls movie should
sorry.
Be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she just was not having it. She was not impressed with my Gilmore Girls acumen, so maybe I should not be writing these scripts.
The other day I tried to pitch my wife too, huh?
Whoa. Whoa.
Huh? Huh?
And we're back.
Let's talk about games before we get out of here.
Okay.
That joke better still be in there. I'm going to listen for it.
It sure will be.
So the games industry is super secretive, so they don't want us to know what's coming out. But some stuff has come out.
In the coming weeks.
So we basically have like a little bit of Q1 stuff and a little bit of Q2 stuff to share with you. Big stuff is they're coming out with Resident Evil Remastered, and that might be big news for Resident Evil fans. Previously, you know, they did their Resident Evil remake for GameCube, and now they're putting a super high-res version of that out for Xbox One, PS4, and 360, and PS3, and that's in January 20th.
For our listeners, Ash is our resident Evil specialist.
Yeah, but here's the deal. I mean, yeah. I have to be honest here. I never played through six. I never got through it. I played six for about an hour, and then I was like, I kind of hate this. So
Scott and I never got through five.
Yeah, we played like an hour of five. But I think that, you know, despite that, I think that puts you far ahead of many people.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love the franchise. I think, you know, some of the earlier titles were brilliant, and I think, you know, definitely in the 90s they had some of the best. The most innovation, some of the best stories, and for the 1990s, and then you know, games got advanced very, very quickly, and unfortunately, Resident Evil didn't change as quickly as it should have with the times. But there's some cool Resident Evil stuff coming out later in the year. So Revelations 2 is coming out, and that's for Xbox One and PS4 and consoles, 360, PS3, PC, basically everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the Revelations franchise kind of takes. I don't want to say lesser known characters, but they're taking Claire Redfield and sending her on an adventure that's not like in the main, I guess, timeline of Resident Evil. So it's kind of like a side story. Hmm. And the Revelation series, the first one was originally for the 3DS. And then they decided, well, geez, this franchise is actually getting reviewed very well. And, you know, we want to start making these for larger consoles. So now they are for, you know, the Xbox One, PS4. So that's coming out a little bit later in the year too.
Cool.
What is tell me about Dying Light.
Dying Light is the parkour survival game. I'm sure you guys. Yeah. Matt, yeah, you did play it actually. I didn't play this.
Yeah.
So you're running away from things, right?
Did somebody? Yeah, is this game from someone? Is this like the guy who made Resident Evil is making this game? Is that game? Or was that
the
Evil
studio
Within?
That broke off? I think of another
that's
studio.
The Evil Within.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So which one is this one?
This one's Ash pretty much described it. It's the parkour zombie game where you're kind of free running away from zombies, but there's essentially two modes. There's like day and night mode. And day mode, the zombies are slow, kind of like classic Romero zombies, you know, stumbling around. And there's different types, but for the most part, your job at that point is to run like missions where you've got to go out and get supplies for the safe house, or like go get, you know, new guns or something that might have dropped somewhere. And like, there's just things that you need to do in the world. And then night mode, like when they all become like super zombies, and you get like these big Hulk ones and fast ones. And basically, if you're stuck out at night, you're pretty screwed, and you have to figure out how to get back to the safe house before you die. And
sounds
at that
cool.
point, yeah, at that point, you're not collecting anything. You're just literally running for your life. It was really fun. It played really smooth, and goddamn, I played it, I think, at PAX Prime a year ago.
Yeah,
so it would have been a year ago September. Yeah. Because I think it was originally targeted for PS3 and 360, if I remember correctly, and maybe they pushed it all the way into new consoles. But it played really well when I played it. It was really fun. It's one of the few. It's like a good. Nice twist on zombie games, if you will.
That's cool. That sounds
very
great.
Cool.
Yeah.
I highlighted something in this list, and that is Life is Strange. This is going to be an episodic adventure game from the studio Don't Nod, who created the game Remember Me, which I played.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In the last year or so, which I really liked. I thought it was sort of a, it was one of those like underrated double A games that we talk about from time to time, where it's like, what happened to all the double A games? You know, the ones that are just like, this is a pretty solid like linear action adventure game. We need more of those. So, Life is Strange follows the story of two characters. Can't remember if they're like solving a crime or if they're trying to just change things in their life, but basically there is a time rewind mechanic in the game that allows you to sort of like go back and change things to create better outcomes in your life. So I don't know if this is going to be an episodic adventure game in the style of Telltale or if the game is just being released in episodes, but either way, first episode comes out on January 30th. I will be getting it. I'm pretty excited. I feel like that studio has a really interesting art style and sort of an interesting take on how to craft a world. I think they kind of touched on the same nerves with Remember Me as like the, you know, if you were to play what is that game that Ubisoft put out with the female protagonist who takes photos? Everybody really loved that game. It's called I'm terrible.
Yeah, the pseudo horror game, right?
No, not that the horror game. It was like cartoony, and like your sidekick was like a pig, and she fought with like a bow staff.
Oh, Beyond Good and Evil.
Yeah, Beyond Good and Evil. It kind of like touched a stylistic nerve in that way for me. Remember Me did that in a way, in sort of a cyberpunk sort of way. And I feel like Life is Strange will sort of continue this trend of interesting gameplay. I read something where they asked it, you know, the story centers around two girls, like teenage or young girls in the game, and I seem to remember reading something where they asked the developer like, why did you choose two female protagonists in the game? And their response was just sort of like, we didn't like pick them to be female, we just created two characters in our game, so that is what they are, which I think is cool. So
cool.
Looking forward to seeing what that's all about. So I think the next big one on the list is Evolve.
Yeah.
How you feeling about this? I'm nervous about this game still.
I think, you know, unfortunately we've gotten to this point where a lot of studios are like, oh, we need to kind of stress test and put an alpha out or a beta out.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of times that's necessarily a good thing, because a lot of times it can leave people with a bad taste. So, you know, I played Evolve in a kind of controlled setting at PAX, and I absolutely loved it. I thought, you know, I had a blast. And then I played it online during their alpha, and I still enjoyed it a lot, but it had some latency issues. It had some sound issues, and it felt kind of a little bit repetitive. I do feel like with the addition of you know, skill trees and a little bit of character customization and advancement and stuff like that, that this game is going to be a lot of fun. And there's a lot of new game modes that they are adding as well. So I'm still really excited about Evolve. I think it's going to be great with a team of friends, especially with the addition of like new game modes. And they're saying that they are putting in not necessarily a campaign, but something campaign-like into it. So
I would expect like a Titanfall campaign.
Yeah, you know? It's probably like, now you got to kill this monster with your group of friends, you know? So
yeah, we should go back and play Titanfall some. Man, there's just too much to play.
Oh, for sure.
We got to play Destiny with Matt. There's just so much to do at this point.
Yeah.
I guess my concern with Evolve was, my concern is that they won't be able to get that game mode balanced between like the monster and the hunters.
It's challenging, absolutely.
You know, because it started out as kill the monster, and then it kind of became like, kill the monster, but now the monster can go to this base. So it kind of pulls everybody to this central point to defend this base and fight there. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, go fight this base. And now you have a dog who can like res your whole team if they die. And you're like, so now it's like 5-on-1. Is it 4-on-1?
Yeah.
So I feel like they're struggling to find the balance. And my worry is that with an online competitive multiplayer game, you know, obviously there will be exploits. And I just hope that they can find a way to balance it and make it fun for both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know,
we'll just wait and see.
Yeah, I agree.
I highlighted the next one because I'm hoping that you guys can explain it to me.
Okay.
Maybe you can't. But everyone that I know who has a PS4 has stated that the Order 1886 is like high on their list of games that are coming out 2015. Do you know, other than the one little trailer I think I saw, do you guys know more about this game? Or is it like it's ex Naughty Dog people making it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Ready at Dawn is the studio, I believe.
I mean, it looks absolutely gorgeous. It's sort of a third-person steampunk, you know, Victorian era, you know, adventure game. I think, from what I see, it looks really stellar. It's just, you know, what is the story really going to be? How great is the gameplay really? You know,
right?
Stuff that I saw, some of the gameplay footage seemed like there was like a little bit of QuickTime involved, which I know people don't really like. I don't really mind it, but
I like it. Yeah,
yeah, I don't mind QuickTime really. So yeah, I'm excited about it. You know, I want to know more. I don't think a lot has been released, so they're kind of really trickling out information. But
It does look gorgeous. I agree. It just was one of those like I'm like, what? It's like one of those where you hear it enough. And you don't know it. You feel dumb for not knowing anything about it. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm excited, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's sort of an interesting setting that is not really frequently explored in a lot of games. So.
It's like kind of like Victorian era London, right? Like that kind of feel to it somewhat.
Yeah.
Cool.
Looks cool.
Alrighty.
Yeah, it's where next year's Assassin's Creed will be taking place, I'm sure.
I think it already is, actually.
Right?
Yeah.
With special Jack the Ripper mode available from Mountain Dew bottles.
Oh, man. I would actually be really into that.
Of course, yeah.
I'm like, get me the Mountain Dew. I'm playing Jack the Ripper mode.
Yeah, and then you can sync with your tablet to track the action as it unfolds. What's that?
What's up? I said, are you still reviewing that game right now?
Oh, Assassin's Creed Unity? Maybe I am. I'm still. It's fresh in my mind because I have to play it all the time, right? Because I'm looking at this tablet every 4 hours to unlock more chests. So,
yeah.
Anyways, what's next on our list?
Battlefield Hardline. Mm-hmm. Are you going to play it or are you going to wait for Star Wars Battlefront?
I feel like between the content packs that I've not played in Battlefield 4 and Star Wars Battlefront coming out at some point in the future, I think I will be occupied.
Yeah, that's kind of the sadly, I mean, Battlefield has almost reached the point of oversaturation as well. And I feel like when they release, this is another game where they released a very early beta and they said, hey, play this game. You know, it was like right after, I think, E3 or something. And a bunch of people downloaded and played it. And the reception was kind of, eh. And then after that, they're like, well, we need to, you know, work on it a little bit more before we release it. So they, you know, they pushed it a bit, polished it up, and now it's coming out on March 17th. And, you know, I love the Battlefield series. I think I've purchased every single one that's ever come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I still don't know if I'm going to get this one, though.
I really feel like Battlefield 4 is a more or less complete game. Like, I think there's plenty to do with the stuff that they added. And with Hardline, it just seems like, I don't know, Visceral should be making Dead Space games, you know, like that's pretty much all there is to it. Not Battlefield games. I don't know how their skills translate from one franchise to the other.
No, I agree. That's interesting. I mean, that was a choice that EA made that, you know, they felt like they would do.
Well,
okay,
I'm sure any Battlefield game is going to sell more copies than a Dead Space game. And that's just sort of the sad.
It's a bummer because those Dead Space games are pretty stellar.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like as far as originality goes, like that would be the winner there. But I mean, what I've seen of Hardline, like I see what they're trying to do and I see how they're trying to sell it to you, but you just cannot get people in a competitive environment to like role play in that way. You know, you can't tell people, oh, you're gonna be like cops and be like lawful good, and then the robbers are just gonna be chaotic and just, you know, flip over vehicles and blow things up. You know what? The cops are probably going to be blowing things up too. So
yeah,
I just feel like that whole scheme is going to break down.
No, I agree. We'll see. I mean, you know, could be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it'll be fun, but it's like, is it the best game that Battlefield can be? And is it the best game that Visceral can be making right now?
Mm.
That's the problem.
It's true.
Mm. Yep. Anyhow,
who put this one on the list?
Who do you think?
You did.
Can you sing it for us?
Yet another $60 I'm going to flush down the toilet to buy another Mortal Kombat game.
Can't not do it.
I mean, just, they're fun.
They are fun, but they're not $60 games. Like, I don't I don't play them for months on end. I play it, like, here and there when I feel like playing a fighting game and not shooting things. Like, it'll be fun. You know, it's a return, right? It's Ed Boon again. It's the original guys again for this one, which is good. They've already been having fun with it. I think I posted the article to you guys, but somebody saw Kung Lao, I guess, in a magazine rip-out scan from, like, some other nation entirely. And they were like, give us a Kung Lao trailer! And he took a picture of Kung Lao from the original Mortal Kombat game, like, photoshopped it onto the trailer and sent it to the kid on Twitter. Like,
like a Love physical it. Trailer.
Yeah, physical
yeah, like,
trailer.
Like an actual, like, trailer you pull with a truck. And he just, like, I guess for the rest of the day kept, like, trolling answers about what was going on there. And I think that's funny. I like that they have a sense of humor. But I'll buy it. Mortal Kombat X, you know, whatever. It'll be there. It'll still be fun. There is something to those games that is very fun, and I'll do it. But there's also something to being 35 and sitting by myself on a couch playing it that doesn't necessarily recapture when I... that. By the way, I don't know if I've ever said this. Mortal Kombat, the original on Sega Genesis, with Blood Mode, you Nintendo fucks. yeah, it's the first one I saved up and bought with my own money in 1992, right?
That's amazing.
Or three. Wow.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And, you know, don't forget about all the hours we spent at the local mall.
Hell yeah.
Playing Mortal Kombat 2 and, like, ripping the pages out of the magazines to learn the moves and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's a good game. With the fighting games, though, do you – I mean, I feel this way sometimes. I feel like the game has progressed beyond my, like, willingness to learn because of esports, you know?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, like, that's when the thing. You play them for a while. You maybe play through the campaign. I'm using finger quotes, the campaign. Mm-hmm. Then you're like, okay, I'm going to try a little bit online. Then you try online, and it's like, you just might as well, like, lay on the floor and let someone stomp on your butthole. Like, it's just like, why am I even doing this, you know?
Like, I get that it's like, this is how the competitive game is played. But when you take a game like Mortal Kombat and you're like, oh, my spacing must be approximately 3 pixels away. And if I cast the fireball at this moment, I'll have a microsecond to put my block in. It's like, man, like, it's Mortal Kombat, dude. Just pull out a spine and, put someone on spikes and just laugh it off. Like, it's okay.
And they should just tell me the fatalities. They should just be printed in the manual that doesn't come with the box. More so that I can just be like, okay, it's all I want to do at the end of the game. I don't want to, and I'm all fumbling around trying to guess them. I'm like, I don't, come on. Anyways, I'll spend money on it.
Sounds good. I'm excited. It looks good.
Me too. Two more on the list before we look at your answers to our question of the week. Witcher 3 Wild Hunt now pushed to May 19th.
Wild Hunt.
The Wild Hunt. Gotta be careful how you say that.
Wild Hunt.
Careful. Oh, careful.
Geralt will hunt everything.
He will. Geralt will hunt everything. I'm excited for this, you know, if you're into RPGs and stuff. Definitely check out Witcher 2 and then check out Witcher 3. Witcher 1, actually never beat Witcher 1, so I shouldn't really talk about it, but Witcher 1 was fun. Witcher 2 is a blast. And then I really do like this Witcher universe. And this one, of course, is going to be bigger, badder. Combat looks great. Voice acting looks great. So really excited for Wild Hunt.
Yeah, it looks great. I'm excited. I'm glad that they pushed it back, you know, same way Dragon Age, they're like, we're gonna push it back to work out some kinks. Like, I feel like these guys, I feel like they, you know, maybe more so than other developers, have more freedom to just go like, hey, we're gonna push our game back, so you know, we're just gonna bank all this GOG money in the meantime and then work on our game some more.
I just want them to put this out so they can put out Cyberpunk, because that's really all I care about.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Mm. You guys know that Chris Priestley is the CM for them now?
Is he really?
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah, he took over as their community manager. So
that's Chris.
Good for him, man. That's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. He's a good dude. Cool.
Another great franchise to go to for him.
So right, absolutely.
Cool. Yeah, it's really cool. It'll be a great game.
Last on our list is the one I think that we might be the most excited about right now. Batman Arkham Knight for Xbox One, PS4, PC. Mm-hmm. Do we really need to talk about this game? It looks fucking ridiculous.
It looks amazing.
It does. It looks great. And I'm really excited to find out who the hell the Arkham Knight is, because it is an original character who we will get to play as. But who is he or she, you know? So
I'm also amazed because every time I see it, I go, wait, is this a pre-rendered? Oh my God, is that gameplay? What is happening that I'm watching right now?
Oh, yep. With the car, like,
oh God,
going through
it's
the city.
Insane.
Yeah.
All of it. We're getting very spoiled by this game.
Yeah.
I think the most exciting thing about seeing these titles for 2015 is seeing titles that don't say 360 and PS3 because we're finally – no, I mean, I'm not saying that to diss on those systems. I'm saying that because we're finally getting games that are designed specifically for this current-gen hardware and not for the old shit and then up-resed. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, we're finally getting, honestly, like the first batch – I mean, Unity was really one of the first games that was designed specifically with this new hardware in mind. So, you know, just now are we getting these games. So
absolutely. I think let me add one more thing. And I know that it sounds like I'm just going to keep ranting about Unity. But, if Assassin's Creed was the franchise that sort of like opened up the, you know, gamers' eyes to this open world game, like if it sort of like revolutionized. Right. And then Batman came along and sort of took that mantle. Right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like I feel like Batman is the new standard for this type of game.
Yes.
There are detective missions in Unity as well. If that's any indication to you as to like which one has sort of overtaken popularity and, you know, like
influenced the other.
Sort of looking over the fence and going like, huh, how do we make our game more appealing to like someone else, right? So anyway, so Arkham Knight, like the new standard, right?
Indeed. Yeah. And then there's a ton of other things that have yet to be announced, and obviously about 50 more on the list that we did not mention. We just kind of brought up some of the big ones, but you know, we'll obviously talk about those as the year progresses, and it'll be exciting.
Indeed.
You guys want to take a quick break and come back with our question of the week?
Let us do that.
Cool.
For sure.
And you're listening to the Rated NA podcast at nerdappropriate.com.
Okay, so we did our question of the week, and this is actually the same one we did last year and the year before. So it's not the most original, but we asked what you're excited about.
No, it's a tradition.
It is a tradition. There we go. So we said, what are you most excited about in 2015? All the upcoming stuff, TV, film, games, life events, food, all sorts of stuff. And you guys were amazing and gave us really, really sweet, amazing replies. The first one is from Elena Marie, who's at Bee's Wing on Twitter, Bee's Wing 16 actually, and she says The Witcher 3, Avengers 2, Dragon Age DLC
?
And the possibility for extended editions for the Hobbit trilogy.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Charlie at Chucky Robert says Ultron, new Uncharted, and any upcoming but unannounced DAI DLC. Oh, we got another vote for that.
There's going to be a lot of that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as far as Uncharted goes, we didn't mention it in our list above, but Uncharted is the type of game that would make me get a PS4.
Oh, yeah.
Is it?
Great.
Yeah, so
that's the one.
Yeah, I think that's the one. I'd be pretty stoked for that. Or like a Beyond Two Souls 2. Beyonder More Souls.
More Beyond Soulsers? Yes,
More Beyonder.
Oh my gosh, I would buy that if that was the actual title.
It'd be like Too Fast, Too Furious, Beyonder. The Beyonder. With Ellen Page.
I was trying to think of an Ellen Page joke, but I couldn't think of a good one.
Yeah.
Apparently just stating her name. Greg Spencer at Pixelated Souls says Star Wars The Force Awakens and No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky.
That No Man's Sky hype. I hope it's great.
I know, I feel bad for them at this point.
And they're like, Hello Games is like, I really hope our game isn't shit or else there's going to be fireballs in the street.
I remember talking to those guys at PAX for like Joe Danger 2.
Yes.
And I was like, how many people are on your team? He's like, well, it's just the four of us.
It's ridiculous.
Oh my God. I hope this game is good.
Me too.
Yeah.
They're super nice guys. Mm-hmm. Jen Jarvis at Hokey98JJ. Hello, Jen. She says, looking forward to lots of games, but most excited for Rise of the Tomb Raider. And any Mass Effect tidbits, winky face. Me too. I want that Mass Effect all up inside me.
Yep. She's playing Unity.
I know. I see that.
Yeah, that's cool. We should start a guild. Nerd Appropriate. Look it up. Join our club. Can't be blank. Frankie Truly says Digimon.
I don't know if that's real or not.
I don't either.
Well, I'm going to read it anyways, just
Let's
in case.
Do it. Why not?
Oh, Jenny the Pirate. Hello, Jenny. Says most excited about moving this year. A personal event.
Yeah. Yes. You didn't read her name as you normally do.
What, Jennifer R?
There you go.
Yeah. Platinum Fist, Carlo. Hey, Platinum Fist. He says new Game of Thrones season. Excited for that. Telltale episodes as well, and Batman Arkham Knight. Hell yeah.
Yay to all those things.
Yeah, we need more episodes of those Telltale games, like post haste. Tracy at Spacey Tracy 13 says The Witcher 3. Oh, and Avengers 2. There's also this little film called Star Wars: The Force Awakens.
Oh boy.
Never heard of it.
Denise Kwan, at Denise Kwan. Hello, Denise. Says The Order 1886.
Mm-hmm.
See? Getting votes.
People like that order. Sam Nee, Eating Green Eggs, says, you know, I second the Mass Effect tidbits. Oh, and Game of Thrones, Age of Ultron, Mad Max, and the Minion movie. Cool.
That's awesome.
Despicable Me, those little goobly gobs.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Nerdly, at Dr. Nerdly, says, also really looking forward to X-Men 92. What is that? Is that a thing?
It's a comic from Marvel.
Oh, is that the new comic coming out?
I think so.
That's cool. We didn't really cover a lot of comics, but
We fell off the comic book bandwagon this year. I needed to hoist ourselves back onto that thing.
Yeah. I don't know if we did any Nerds Year's resolutions, but mine is to read more this year, particularly
me too.
Comics.
It's mine.
Yeah.
I copied
it. You guys want to know what I'm reading right now?
Yeah.
Jay-Z Decoded.
What is that? Is it like
that's his autobiography that he wrote.
How about that?
He writes, it's like all about him, and then he takes a song and he dissects what his lyrics mean.
Cool. Do you read the book in his voice or in Jay
Farrow's
voice?
You have to. It's literally written as he talks. It's like he writes, it's insane. When he writes, it sounds as if he's talking on the book. Like, it's not written in like, and then 10 years ago. Like, it's not that at all.
Maybe there's a line at the end of the book, dictated but not read.
Bunny Hanlon says at Wing and Lioness says, I will second all of Patrick's week's excitement, very much including the potential book. And suppose add my baby on the way.
Congratulations.
I suppose. I feel like we missed.
We don't know what Patrick Weeks is excited about yet.
I think it's somewhere in there.
We're reading these out of order. List.
It's all right.
You're out of order.
This whole podcast is out of order.
Flip desk. Claire Pentagost, who is at Lady Comstock, says, Dragon Age Inquisition DLCs and or expansions and Avengers 2, and I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they better put out some of that Dragon Age 2 DLC or else someone's gonna be pissed.
I know this is probably going to sound like crazy talk, but I would like to see more DLC for multiplayer too.
Me too. It's not crazy talk. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I have 11 of the 12 characters unlocked, man. 11 of the 12.
That's great. That keeper, man, the magic that we did the other night when we played, dude.
It was sweet. Yeah.
We need to share those videos with people because that is crazy. Fun. Crazy times. Mary Mishmas at Misha Beans says.
Free Christmas, right? Or right after. Yeah.
Yeah. Says Star Wars, also Mass Effect news.
Man.
Just the news.
Just the news. I know. Tell me about it. I mean, I get a sense of where it is going. I have no insider information, but just from like the things that I've seen so far, I feel like it's sort of going in a quasi throwback direction, which I'm excited about.
Might be right.
Yeah.
Maria Jenkins at Artist Flop says, Avengers 2, upgrading my desktop so I can finally play DAI.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Patience. Bluster Kerfuffle at Paper by the Ton.
Ness.
Love her names. DAI DLC, hiring another reporter and still not having children.
Is that a life event?
I love it.
Continuing
to not have children.
Yeah. Alyssa at Lisabeth says, Gamer X with Boss of Honor Jennifer Hale. Oh, cool. Had such a great time meeting BioWare folks there last year. I gotta go again.
Cool. A lot of people love that Gamer X.
Mm-hmm.
The Herald of Maple at Michael Coles says, all the conventions this year, Dragon Con and PAX Prime being separate weekends is game changing.
Oh,
I've still never been to Dragon Con.
Me
it's one
either.
That I have always wanted to go to.
It's hard for me because I have like an allergic reaction to Atlanta. So I hear that it's in Atlanta, and I'm like, "Why would
why
I ever
do
such a
why
thing?"
Why do you hate Atlanta? Why do, I don't
Every
remember
time
why you
I
hate
go
Atlanta.
Through there, I feel like I am in some place I don't want to be.
Well, we got to take you to the L5P, man.
Scott and I have nothing but like great memories of Atlanta, I think.
Yeah, my memories are mainly just of driving to the airport, so.
Oh. Well, that's not fun. That's the worst airport in the country, so. It is, man. It's humongous, and whenever you have a connection in Atlanta, you're guaranteed to be in like 10 terminals away from the one you're in.
It's rough.
It's like, okay, well, you've got 15 minutes, the plane's boarding, and you're at Terminal B, and you need to get to Terminal 14. And you're like, what? It changes the numbers? They're like, yeah, just go, get on the train, and then run. And you're like, oh, God.
Yeah, it is terrible. I agree.
Even without getting on the little subway train, I think that is the only airport that I've ever had to run in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Anyways. It's a terrible... Is this the airport report, guys, or what?
It Come is. On. Airport podcast. This airport sucks. So does this one. On episode 3, let's discuss what other airports suck. Gray at Dead on Arrival 21 says, announcement of Rage Gaming Expo. Missed out last year, but rocking it this year. I don't know what that is, so I'll have to look it up. Rage Gaming Expo.
Okay.
Let's Google it later.
Elizabeth DV at, I think this handle is messed up, so I'm not going to read
hacked?
It. Yeah. It's like letters and numbers, but they're out of order. The at is in the wrong place. Anyways, Orphan Black, anyone missing this show needs to watch and catch up ASAP.
I hear nothing but good things about that show.
Yeah. You know who told me about this show? My mom.
Really?
Yeah, she called me up. She's like, are you watching this Orphan Black? It's like one girl and she plays all the characters. And I'm like, what? Okay.
I believe Derek the pilot told me about it.
Oh, cool.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah. Let's, we'll put it on our queue. We'll watch it.
Yeah. Eric at eChap33 says, Star Wars, this is a list. Star Wars, Avengers, Game of Thrones, Halo 5, Quantum Break, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Penny Dreadful, Vikings, to name a few.
Mm. Yeah, Vikings.
Things. Hey. Penny Dreadful, Halo 5. I'm in it.
Quantum Break still doesn't have a release date, and I hope it
gets
one.
You guys have to drink some mead and watch Vikings together. In,
it's on. What did I just see? It's on Amazon Prime, I think. It's on one of the streamings now. You can watch the first season.
That would make me so happy if you guys watch that shit. So,
all right. Yeah, I'll watch it. I wanted to watch it when it was out. I just didn't DVR at the time and then never caught up.
Okay.
All right. Quay, who's Quay00, says the next Mass Effect game. Going to be a while, Deadpool but you might movie. Hear a little bit about it. Deadpool movie and the next season of Game of Thrones. Good answers.
Mm-hmm. Is Deadpool movie slated for 2015 or is it 2016?
I think it'll be out 2016.
Yeah.
I think it shoots
still,
this year.
Still, though. More stuff.
Stumpy Nat, our pal, Natalie, says naps.
I think she means our nerd-appropriate pre-PAX party.
Nope, there's just one P in there.
One P.
Darn,
she's just excited
naps.
About naps.
Just literally naps.
Yeah.
Karsten Peterson at Scared Nave says rated NA, of course.
You get points, man, for sucking up.
Yeah.
Of course.
That makes me happy.
Uh-huh.
Can't feel that bad. Kate Dollarhide.
You're in a real singing mood today.
Kate D says... Ancillary Mercy, the third book in Anne Leckie's Imperial Radich series, coming out in October. Just finished the second book. I don't know what any of that means.
Yeah, remember that remember that book club we tried to start on Goodreads?
Oh, we're so bad at it.
Yeah, I think Kate needs to take it over.
Yeah.
Sure.
By the way, shout out to Kate. I know you guys could not listen to the last episode, but Kate helped me out with the Patrick Weeks interview and absolutely killed it. She actually used to do a podcast ages ago and listens to many frequent podcasts, so... She was absolutely pro. So thank you, Kate.
That is fantastic.
That's great.
Justin D at Justin says, more arrow, please.
Oh,
I'm down. Down with the arrow.
Yep.
Another Justin Banks at Midtown 583 says, finishing off my backlog of last gen games and moving on to current gen games. More power to you for being strong and finishing your last gen games before the current ones.
Dude, man, so many. Between that and the Steam
stack.
Pile.
I just have a stack. It just sits in a drawer. I haven't even looked at it.
I know. It's such a bummer.
Yeah.
All right. Last on the list is Daniel Coleman, who is at Lucky Spork on Twitter. And Daniel Coleman says, Witcher 3, Star Wars, Avengers 2, E3 to find out what games are coming in the fall because this year's all first half games. Mm. So, good answer.
All righty.
Well, guys. Thanks. Thank you guys for listening to episode 185 of the Rated NA podcast. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, and that is at NerdAppropriate on Twitter, and we have a lot of new followers there, so thank you guys so much for that. You can email us directly, and that is Matt, Scott, and Ash at NerdAppropriate.com. Hop on over to our Facebook page, and that is /NerdAppropriate on Facebook. And sometimes we will actually put our Nerd Appropriate questions of the week on there, so you can reply in a little bit of a longer form if you want to do that. And we'll be coming to PAX South in a couple of weeks, so we'll be updating info about that pretty soon.
I think the secret is that we tend to put our photos on Facebook. We tend to be like interactive on Twitter. And then when we go to conventions, that's when you can follow us on Instagram. Yeah. And we also want to give it a shout out to Rasmus, who sent us a really kind email, you know, in regards to the podcast and sort of like what we try to do on the show and try to bring sort of some positivity to the gaming community. So we appreciate that. And thank you for the kind words. And I believe we also saw some other kind responses, similar responses on Twitter as well. And we really appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of our goal, is to sort of bring a little levity and positivity into your life on a weekly basis. And we will keep doing it. So we hope you guys and gals enjoy what we do.
Indeed.
Yeah,
for real.
Really appreciate that.
Cool. Have a good week, guys.
Just take it easy and you'll be fine. And be careful in the future.
The future?